Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, Standing Alone, Part 2. But before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. It is by standing alone that all seekers grow, by feeling their way and discovering their own peculiar line of approach to the center, from which light streams out, and also by responding steadily and in realized loneliness to the call of duty and service. You mentioned last time that many people in big cities, like this one, live alone, and many struggle with loneliness. Yet you said that this solitude can actually be a productive condition spiritually. Could you say more about that?
Yes, I think people may not realize that the sense of solitude and in some cases loneliness could have a productive element to it. Maybe it's because human beings are by nature so gregarious that if we feel lonely, we think something's wrong with us or something's at least gone wrong with our life. Not necessarily. There are many people who are utterly at home with the condition of solitude, and that's fine. They are their own best company, and that's fine. But there are others who are alone and feel lonely. They feel incomplete without companions and friends and loved ones around them. That also is very human, but if we believe that whatever condition we find ourselves in is basically appropriate for our present state of consciousness, then we have to look at our lives, and if we are alone, we have to say, this must be what I have created and what I need in order to take my next step spiritually. I think this was behind what the Saint Paul meant when he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Whatever state we're in, be content with it, because it must be the right condition for our soul to take its next step forward in consciousness. So, the question is, why would loneliness be productive spiritually, or at least potentially so? I think it has to do with the fact that we were talking about in the last program that we learn to become masters by mastering, and we learn to master the crises and challenges of life by turning to our own resources, by drawing upon our own inner spiritual strength and light. If we are constantly looking for guidance and advice from those around us, even the most respected and advanced souls around us, yes, they can give us guidance, But that keeps us, I think, from turning to the light within us, which is the soul. If we are looking outward, we're not then drawing on our inner resources, are we?
No, absolutely not. And that's, I think, one of the lessons that one has to learn through this whole experience of loneliness. And if there one is really lonely, then probably there is too much preoccupation with one's own personal physical surroundings and well-being, and perhaps that's also part of the lessons, that one has to break away from that dependency on that which is outside of yourself, your loved ones or your friends or whatever, to complete your own personality life. When, as you say, the real pathway towards the light lies within you. And that's perhaps the lesson that's being presented to you in this case of loneliness.
There are different meanings to this condition that we're talking about, and these different terms include solitude, which has a more positive connotation to it, at least to me. Solitude is you get the sense of being undistracted and left free to concentrate on whatever one chooses. Loneliness sounds unhappy, and it is. Loneliness is this state of emotional need for someone other than just oneself. Then there's separateness, and that's definitely not good. To be separate or to have a separative consciousness is to perceive oneself as so unique and apart from the rest of humanity that one is isolated. And isolation is not good, because we, the Ageless Wisdom teaches that the universe and the world as we know it is a unified whole. And if we perceive ourselves as isolated within that whole, something has gone wrong in the way we perceive the world. So all of these different words are trying to describe a condition which spiritually is a stage along the way of spiritual growth and development. Every one of us has to learn to be at home with ourselves. And particularly at certain stages in the spiritual path, one has the sense of being quite bereft, alone, and abandoned. And the ultimate stage, which we will talk about later, is called the dark night of the soul. I've known a lot of people who have claimed to be in that stage far earlier than they will actually experience it, because that's quite an advanced stage. But the loneliness of the disciple whose family and friends don't share the path, we talked about that last time, it has to do with entering through a gate or a door that causes one to feel temporarily apart from the people who have been most familiar and closest to one. It's only temporary, but for every gate or door you pass through, another gate closes behind you, and this is just a part of the path.
Yes, and it's part of the testing period to realize that this sense of separateness, or this sense of being something different apart from your family, let's say, that's all part of the illusion, the great illusion that is this sense of separation. And but it's, if one is really on that path of progressing through the next stage in consciousness, then this breaking away from the standard way of life that one is perhaps grown up with and so used to, but then you finally reach this stage where it no longer is attracted to you. It no longer answers your questions, so you begin to look around for something better, something that does answer your questions, and your mind is looking for a new way, and then you find that new way, and it takes you off in a different direction than your loved ones may be still at that stage. So it does create a sense of separation, but that's, you find yourself kind of betwixt and between between the soul, life of the soul, and the life of the personality. And it's a difficult place to be in.
It's normal that the development of a spiritual orientation to life causes a change in our values, our interests, our priorities. All of that shifts. And yet, it's good, ultimately good, but that shifting and reorientation is what gives one the sense that a lot is being sacrificed and left behind. And yes, you do have to relinquish certain habits of thought, certain relationships, certain views and perceptions that you have always had of the world and of other people. Those naturally have to change. Who would want to be static? Who would want to be completely unchanging? And who would want to marry someone who would never, ever change? How would you possibly want to spend your life with someone who stayed absolutely the way they were the day you married them? That doesn't sound very promising to me. Growth and change are normal and part of the soul's evolution. But there are relinquishments if the path is not shared with one's loved ones. Even if it is shared, one still makes that journey in consciousness alone, in the sense not of being isolated and separated from the rest of humanity, but in the sense that one's mind is one's own mind, and that mind has to develop and grasp and register certain spiritual stages of being on its own initiative. What I'm trying to say is hard to describe, but the great invocation that closes our program each week begins by saying, from the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. That invocation is saying that light from the mind of God has to be registered in every human mind. That's our task, you could say. Humanity's task is, one by one, all 6 billion of us in time, eventually, becoming points of light for divine light, points of registration, points of emanation and radiation, for the light of God to shine into the world. That's our task as a human species. The very word man means one who thinks. And through the use of the human mind, divine light can enter the world. So, if spiritual evolution has to do with the conscious registration of this light of God, that's something that each one of us must attain or experience or register. Not individually exactly, but independently, in the freedom of our own spiritual evolution.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, Standing Alone, Part 2. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $16, and the discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So what you need to do is send $16 check or money order to Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Now, Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of true service, including some extracts on Standing Alone, our topic for today, Standing Alone and Loneliness, and their relevance to spiritual development. So what you need to do, too, is when you do send in your check or money order, $16, you should mention a little note saying that you heard about it on you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. And now, the reason why we ask you to do that is because that's really what entitles you to your discount. So a little note saying that you heard about the offer on Serving Humanity on the show Inner Sight. So once again, $16 check or money. Ask for the check or money order.
Money order.
Check or money order. $16. Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We appreciate your donations, large and small. That's what keeps us on the air, and we really value them very much. They've been a great help, and they're an expression to us of your support. So kindly continue doing so if you can. And also, we have a toll-free number that you might want to call. And the reason why you might use that toll-free number is to order other books, cassette tapes of the radio shows, a schedule of our meditation meetings, or a package of general information which can tell you a lot about Luce's Trust. So if you need to use that phone number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCES. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCES. Our website has a lot of information on the Luce's Trust, and you might want to key into our website. Many people do because they like to key into the previously archived library of radio shows. We have a lot of them archived on that website, as well as so much more information about Luce's Trust. So the website is www.lucestrust.org. We also want to remind you that we're talking about Standing Alone as our topic today, Standing Alone Part 2. And I was thinking, Sarah and Dale, that this is the first time I've heard of loneliness as being an asset, something that can contribute to spiritual development. And what is the main benefit as far as spiritual development? From my own experience, would it be that one can develop inner sight of thinking about values and the way one looks at life?
I suppose that the ability to stand alone and to be content within one's own being throws one back on one's own resources. It's normal and right at a certain stage of the way to look for a teacher. Many of us begin by looking for a teacher or a teaching. And we are guided by that teacher or teaching and move forward with quite a lot of speed. But there is also need at certain stages of the way to be able to chart one's own course spiritually, to determine for oneself what the next step is, how to resolve whatever one's problems are spiritually, how to work one's way through whatever crisis one finds oneself in. That can be a slower way, but it's also the way that we really draw upon the light within, the light of the soul that is within. So much of our problem, I think, is that we have a dualistic way of looking at the world and our place in it. There's oneself, I, and there's the rest of the world with which one either wants to unite or feels totally alienated from, depending on one's life experience and attitude and temperament. But there's this view of the world that is dualistic, and it continues right up to God. There's oneself, and then there's God somewhere out there in heaven, up there somewhere. And that separation is the problem. That's what makes us feel lonely. We feel separated from the world, separated from the whole. And yet the ageless wisdom says that God is all pervasive. And what is the word? Omnipresent. That divinity is omnipresent in the world, not encased in a being with a long white beard who sits on a cloud or whatever one's idea of God is, but present throughout his creation. And if that is the case, God is present within each one of us in the soul. And that means we are not apart from, but one with the Father already. The whole point of the spiritual path is to awaken to that essential unity. And by drawing upon one's own inner light, one is drawing upon and awakening that inner divinity.
And that's the whole point, because as one traverses that path back to the Father's home, as it says in the Bible, in the prodigal son, we gain a sense of that wholeness as we go along. And that's why this breaking away is very necessary, because as long as you're embedded in the material world, in a personality life, then you will be separated. You will sense this separation from God. But it's breaking away from that that idea, that illusion, that brings one to the realization of this all-pervasiveness of God, that it carries one right back to the soul, and that's the whole purpose, is to try to realize that we're not alone, that we're not been abandoned, and we are actually returning to a full state of life.
There are a number of paradoxes in this whole discussion. One is that if God is all omnipresent, how come there's a path from here to there? Well, it's a path in consciousness. The consciousness has to expand in incremental stages. It can't simply explode open, or we would probably lose what little mind we already have.
Yeah.
It has to be incremental for a healthy, safe expansion, and that's where the metaphor of the path comes in and of the spiritual journey. Another paradox is that most of us set out on a spiritual path because we want to develop a sense of unity and oneness with all beings. That might be a sense that's deep in our heart, and we want to realize it more consciously, the sense that the world is a unified organism and that we are a tiny fragment of this world. And we want to experience it in a more conscious, coherent way. And yet we find out that we have to learn on this journey the lessons of loneliness and of renunciation. If the world is a unified whole, how come we have to renounce anything? How come sacrifice, giving up, is such an important part of this journey? Again, it's not so that we can suffer and become better people or humbled. It's that what we have to renounce is previous shackles, previous perceptions that have kept us encapsulated and unable to perceive our oneness. These husks, like the husking of an ear of corn, have to be stripped away until finally, in consciousness, we can truly perceive our oneness with the Father, to use a term that's rather mystical. So the renunciation is an essential part of the path, and yet, on the deepest sense, it's an illusion. In fact, there is an initiation, a very advanced initiation, the fourth, which is the initiation of renunciation and of crucifixion, and it has a great deal to do with this sense of imagined isolation.
Yes, you mentioned the fourth initiation, and it has the initiation that the Christ went through it, and he demonstrated that when he was on the cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that was, he had reached that stage in consciousness, in his own conscious path of development there, where he was bereft of everything. He had to, at that point, leave everything behind, detach himself from everything that he had ever known in the physical world, and leave that all behind. And what he had before him was what he was reaching out towards. And that was a kind of a scary time.
Well, I would think at whatever stage one is progressing through, one reaches progressively a point where you have to let go of the known and familiar, speaking of spiritual understanding, in order to move into and merge with a more expanded consciousness. And I think those are rather frightening stages.
Mm-hmm.
When you are moving into previously uncharted territory, uncharted by you at least. Others have gone ahead of you, but for you, it's a new step. Mm-hmm. And it can be frightening, and a lot of people turn back from it, and that's perfectly understandable. But if you want to think about loneliness, just imagine Christ at the point of crucifixion, which is the fourth initiation, standing alone before Pilate and utterly reviled and unsupported and alone. And that's not a kind of loneliness like we would experience, because I'm sure he had a sense of his mission, of his spiritual purpose, but he had to draw upon totally new attributes in consciousness, I guess we could say. He had to draw upon a sense of belief in divinity that would enable him to be alone and yet merging with the Father in a totally new way. Alice Bailey put it in an interesting way in her book From Bethlehem to Calvary. She said, only when the soul has learned to stand alone, assured of divinity, and yet without any outer recognition of that divinity, can the very center of spiritual life be recognized as stable and eternal. It's only when we are willing to be absolutely alone on our own resources that we can register or perceive that center of life that is always available to us, always there. And I think people who go through great crises and profound sorrow get a little glimpse of that stable, utterly lasting, enduring center of life that never fails us.
And this is one of the lessons that we learn through loneliness, because it's said that loneliness is one of the first things that indicates to a seeker that he is being prepared for initiation. And it is going through these kind of mini experiences of loneliness that we are able to face the great test of the fourth initiation much, much later on.
So I think it's safe to say, even if you aren't terribly advanced spiritually, and most of us aren't, if we are experiencing loneliness, it is a test, and we can rejoice in exercising our spiritual muscles. Alice Bailey said, be not afraid of loneliness. The soul that cannot stand alone has naught to give.
Please take advantage of the Lucis Trust special offer. Actually, it's a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company. And that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity, a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of true service, including some extracts on standing alone and loneliness, and their relevance to spiritual development. What you need to do is send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And please include the note mentioning that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. That entitles you to the discount. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.